Hello, everybody. It's Adam Dalva, and I'll be reading from pages 227 to 229 of Thomas Pynchon's Violent. In some way, as it developed, the lascivious tooth physician enjoyed a franchise to meddle in the lives and with the precious time of people he didn't even know, one that weed, beached these years beside the sea of death, still didn't understand. Somehow the doc had been authorized in those days to send people, weed included, a form that required them to come to his offices at a certain time. No-show penalties were never exactly spelled out, only hinted at. The place was all the way downtown, in a setting of old brick hotels, sailors' bars, aging palm trees towering above the streetlights, a stark sprawling maze of cheap partitions inside a gutted former public, perhaps federal building, now stained and ruinous, its classical columns airbrushed black with fine grime under streetward halves, except for the fluting, letters across the frieze overhead long chiseled away, no longer readable, ascended toward by a broad-littered flight of steps that seethed with visitors on appointments, small business deals up and down at all levels and into the great echoing cement lobby, lined with geometric statues who loomed overhead, staring down like the saints of whatever faith this building had served. Weed could have ignored the form in the mail, but he was haunted by that first gleaming whammy on the freeway, so he showed up on time wearing a jacket and tie, but had to wait, as it turned out, all day, in the bullpen just off the lobby, on a flimsy folding chair, nothing to read but propaganda leaflets and withered news magazines from months gone by, afraid even to go out and look for lunch. This was to happen again and again. Dr. Lasmo always ran late, sometimes days late, but each time he insisted we'd fill out a postponement form, including reason explained fully, as if it were Weed's fault. Weed felt more and more guilty as he became an old bullpen regular, one of a throng of what should plainly have been dental cases, but always proved to be something else, none of them smiling, who passed nervously both ways through the gates and the railing that stood like a bar in a courtroom, an altar rail in a church, between the public side and the office penetralia full of their mysteries. Sometimes Dr. Elasmo would be rolling a table carrying a tray of shining. Why couldn't Weed ever make them out clearly? Was it the low wattage light in this place? Dental equipment of some kind? Welcome to Dr. Larry's world of discomfort, he would whisper, going through the paperwork. There was a recurring message, one too deep for Weed, always about paper. I can't accept this form. This will all have to be renegotiated, rewritten. You'll figure it out. It was some long, ongoing transaction carried on like dentistry in a currency of pain inflicted, pain withheld, pain drugged away, pain become amnesia, how much and how often. Sometimes Ilsa, the hygienist, stood waiting by a door into a corridor, leading, he knew, to a bright high room with a tiny window at the top, impossibly far away, some blade of sky. She was holding something, something white, and he couldn't remember. And Weed, at the close of the workday, would go back down the chipped and crumbling steps, back across a borderline, invisible, but felt at his crossing between worlds. It was the only way to say it. Inside, at this well-known address he could no longer remember, was an entirely different order of things. He was being exposed to it gradually through these repeated, required visits. Each time there, he returned to PRQ less sure about anything, deeply confused about Farnese, whom he loved but didn't completely trust because of gaps in her story, absences neither she nor anyone else in 24 FPS would explain.